We're in Enaya, Piska Pei Gimel, that's 83, Rav Cook's commentary on the Agaratan Masechet Shabbat. And we began last week the Gemara on page 19a, Daf Yutet Amud Aleph. We'll go quickly through the Gemara. Tanya Amar Rav Tzadok, Kachaya Minago Shabbat Rabban Gamliel, the custom of the house of the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, Rabbi Gamliel, their custom was shayu notnim klei lavan lekovesh losha yamim kodem leShabbat. They would give white clothes to be laundered 3 days before the Shabbat, utzvuin and colored clothing afilu be'erev Shabbat, even on Yom Shishi, even on Friday, because they're a lot easier to launder. Umidivrem lamadim. From this we learn shelevanim kashim lechabsan yoter minat zvoim. That colored clothing is a lot easier to wash than white clothing. And Rav Kook explained last time in Piska Pei Bet the difference between the symbolism here is the difference between inborn traits and actions. Whereas, like colored clothing, which is artificial, it comes in from the outside. And it's that much easier to change, that much easier to launder, to clean. On the other hand, white clothing, which is the more natural way the clothing is, those are more inborn habits, inborn midot, I should say, which are that much more difficult to change. Nevertheless, they are possible to change. Abaye haviyayivle ahu mana detzviya lekatzra. Abaye would give his clothing, colored clothing. He brought it to the laundromat. Amarle kama bayit alu alave. How much would you want to charge? How much would you take for this to launder this clothing? Amarle kidechiyura, the same price as white. Amarle kvar kadmuch rabbanan, but the rabbis already preceded you. Amar Abaye. Hai man diyayiv mana lekatzra, b'mishchat, the last line that doesn't affect us, but the idea is that the rabbis already told us that colored clothing should be less expensive than white clothing to launder. Pei Gimel. Ha'ishtadlut letaken hamidot, v'amasim ru'uya hi mod. Rav Kook is continuing on the same symbolism that he began last week, that the idea of laundering symbolizes laundering ourselves, laundering our midot, our actions, cleaning our ourselves. So he says that the ishtadlut, the efforts, litakena midot, to fix our character traits, to fix our actions, the two topics which we spoke about last week, ri'uyahi ma'od, it's something very worthwhile to invest in. Aval tzarich listakel b'chol davar sheyeh meshuar lefi erko. But you have to examine very, very carefully before you invest your time and your effort. Lo yachbid b'makom she'in tzorech. Not to make things difficult. Not to overemphasize that which you don't need to emphasize. And this is something which, it's a motif which we've seen before in Rav Kook, that nature is something very godly. Life is something godly. Melech hafetz b'chaim, right? God loves life and he wants us to love life. And as our Father in heaven, the last thing that a father would want to do is to make life difficult for their children. If you remember, we learned 3 years ago in Midot HaRe'iyah, there's a piska that Rav Kook just points out almost comically how cynical people have this warped picture as if they think that God gives us all these commandments in order to make life difficult, right? As if they, if you remember, we quoted this since then also, as if they project themselves onto God, how I would feel if I were God. Right? I would have a great time telling everyone, do this, don't do that, do, don't, do, don't. Positive commandments, negative commandments, as a ego trip. And unfortunately, what that gives man, the feeling that mitzvot are, if you remember, we spoke about people mistakenly think that mitzvot are like boot camp, as opposed to occupational or physiotherapy, right? That the same action, really, the question is whether it's meaningful, and whether it's beneficial for me, or is it just some 19-year-old who was given a couple of stripes, and he has an ego trip, telling you what, telling all of the tironim what to do and what not to do. And Rav Kook here is saying, again, the last thing that God wants to do is to make life difficult. The same thing regarding midot. Just like parents like to have their children happy, and a happy child is a happy atmosphere, and more conducive, and better mannered, and more capable of learning. And well, to be happy is something that is beneficial for everything. So obviously, God doesn't want to make life difficult. Now, we saw this idea exactly in Chazon HaTzimchonut. If you noticed, Chazon HaTzimchonut is very, very basic of Rav Kook's ideology. I think over the year, we probably mentioned it at least 6-7 times, right? If I'm not mistaken. Right? There are a lot of very basic ideas there. So if you haven't learned it yet, I was at a seminar for how to live longer. And the guy who gave the seminar, very nice, some doctor who lives up in the north, and I mentioned him that Rav Kook spoke very positively about in the future that we'll all go back to being vegetarians like we were in the Garden of Eden. So he got very excited about that idea and other ideas in Chazon HaTzimchonut, so he asked me to send it to him. So I looked on Wikitext, if you're familiar, and you just write in Chazon HaTzimchonut VeHaShalom, you'll find Wikitext, and you can download it. And if you haven't learned it yet, many of the ideas, like I said, will hopefully sound familiar because there are very basic ideas which we mentioned in different contexts.
And by the way, the little booklet with the explanation by Rav Chagai London is very good.
And our share of it is on the Beit El website.
Oh, that is? Oh, so it's on the Beit El website. You can put in a plug for the... to look into that year. What, it's divided into two or three? Okay. And that's also just a very minimized version, right? Because it's longer. But anyway, one of the major ideas there is that just like the individual is meant to climb stage by stage, advancing and developing in life and everything, so too mankind is meant to develop slowly but surely and advance slowly but surely. And that's why the Torah very often alludes to certain ideals, but doesn't obligate them. And one of the examples is vegetarianism, where if you read in between the lines, it's very clear that we do have, and we should have, mercy on animals, and that as soon as we can, we should try and become vegetarians. Why? One of the points there that Rav Kook mentions there is the idea that God doesn't want to machbid, the same term. God doesn't want to make things difficult for us when we're not at that stage yet. And therefore, he leaves it as optional until all of mankind is at that stage. He uses the term mispar hadifikot shebalev, the number of knockings at the heart that basic morality knocks at the heart. Technology will get us little by little to be more humane and more vegetarians. Doctors and medicine will tell us little by little to be more and more vegetarians. And all of the factors together, all the mitzvot of Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, not making a bracha on leather, not saying titchadesh if somebody has a new leather jacket or something like that, all of these small, even customs ingrained in us, knock on the doors of our heart, so little by little, eventually, we will open up. But don't overdo it. Don't do it artificially. Right? It has to be a slow but sure climb. And therefore, and Rav Kook is going to relate here to the Musar Yeshivot, The classic example is Navartok, where they would go to kitzoniut, to extreme things, or Chasidei Ashkenaz, we spoke about them once. Rabbi Yehuda Chasid is very much into trying to figure out what else God would want of me in addition to that which he commanded us. Okay? So, for example, if he doesn't allow us to eat chelev, maybe we shouldn't even eat shuman. Right? There's a prohibited fat. So Rabbi Yehuda Chasid, if I remember correctly, says we should try and stay away from the permitted fat as well. Right? That it's something that it's like a luxury or not healthy, whatever the reason. That so the idea is to try and read what God would want of us, but he doesn't obligate it if we're not ready for it. The same thing regarding morals. Tzarich listakel b'chol davar shiyeh mishu'ar lefi erko. You have to examine each and every detail according to where you are. Lefi erko. Every person is at a different stage in his development. Every person has to evaluate very carefully. Lo yachbid b'makom she'en tzorich. Not to make life difficult on himself and bite off more than he can chew. The same thing regarding self-improvement. Bifrat l'talmid chacham, especially talmidei chachamim, shetoratam tachshirem liyot hanetiyot hativiyot ponot l'tov v'likdusha. Especially those scholars, those who spend their time learning Torah, especially those who are learning full-time, but the more Torah you learn, the more you should become, it's machshir, it prepares you, turns you into a better person. Liyot hanetiyot hativiyot, that your natural leanings should be towards good, towards kedusha. Im yimtza ben chet, so if you have a talmid chacham, who you do find a shortcoming, right? A chet, a sin. Yimtza rak mitzad ezem mikre, ma'asi. If he's really connected to Torah, then it's like an external action, a coincidental action, which is not ingrained deeply. You don't have to scrub and scrub until you cleanse it out of the clothing, right? If you remember the mashal. And here, Rav Kook is referring to the colored clothing, right? Because colored clothing is that which is easier to launder. Shelo yatbia chotamo amok kenetia tivit lara. Again, if a person is close to Torah, then his basic nature is good, and it shouldn't be difficult for him. He doesn't have to go overboard. He doesn't have to go crazy in order to fix midot in the same way that a person who's not connected to Torah, for him, he has to work that much harder. Now here, Rav Kook is really alluding to a question which we once mentioned. Why were so many yeshivot in Europe mitnaged, opposed the Musar movement of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter? Most of the yeshivot in Europe were against him. And if you read Professor Shaul Stamper's book on Volozhin, he explains very simply that in the Volozhin yeshiva, they believed, and this is what Rav Kook learned in Volozhin, said they believed that when a person learns Torah, that in itself, slowly but surely, improves your your ethics, your morals, gets you to be a more thinking person. Right? You don't just eat out of rote, like a robot, or what everyone else is doing, but you focus. Just like everybody knows the Beinishim in the army. Right? Whenever a commander gives a command, you know, unless it's obviously in a war or something like that, very, very often, if there are yeshiva boys in his platoon, they will ask, well, why do we do it this way? Why don't we do it that way? And it's known, and you see it, right? You can see it, a very clear difference between somebody who learned in yeshiva very often asks questions. Sometimes they may sound like klutzkashes, but he's a thinking person. Therefore, with a little effort, he should return to his healthy self, Gershon, what do you want to say? Umisha machbid al tamid chacham, lomar shekolkach hu tzarich amel vachbada letaher chisaron mikri ma'asi. And if some musar, shmuz, or they used to have these magids who would go around, they would make a living by going town to town to give musar shmuzes, and they would, people would pay him. And if these magids, you know, come and they want to get a scholar to start investing all of his time and effort, and he should be fasting, and he should be crying, and he should be changing his whole lifestyle. Tzarich amel v'achbada, right? To make life difficult on himself, l'taher chisaron mikri ma'asi, where it may really be a problem that he has, or a sin, or a shortcoming that he has, but don't drill into him that he has to spend his whole life on that midah. Because the real way of fixing the shoresh, the root of the problem, is through learning Torah.
I had a Rebbe who used to
say, Torah changes your whole personality.
I had a Rebbe who used to say, frumkeit is all right if it doesn't interfere with your learning.
Ke'oto ha'amal ha'ra'oi, Lemi shetchunotav ativio. Davka, it's interesting that you say that there is.
Rabbi J. Miller,
Rav Kamenetsky, brings in the making of a gadol that was the chashash of Rav Chaim about Rav Kook. That he saw that Rav Kook was very much into frumkeit, and he thought, he was worried that it would interfere with his learning.
Here it's saying the other way.
Right, so here Rav Kook is making.
Also, not Rav Yisrael Solanta, who also has a big mimer, which he calls Frumkeit. It's all about Frumkeit.
Oh, yeah?
Which is what?
It's the opposite. He's saying that's all about people being extraneously religious instead of focusing on the midot.
Kelto Amal, Haraui Lemishet Chunotava Tiviot Niknulo Betevara Umekulkal. As opposed to people who spend all of their time with secular things and not with learning and not with examining life and not with values and priorities, etc., etc., they really do need to work very, very hard on changing their actions, and how much more so changing their their midot. Mitnei she'atorah mitaheret et teva hanefesh b'kinyaneha. Here Rav Kook adds an interesting idea. How does Torah fix a person? Now, he alludes to it that it does, b'kin yaneha, when we acquire it. What is acquiring the Torah? How does that make us better people? So in the Sefer Orot, in Amud Kuf Chaf Aleph 121, Rav Kook here describes what was the advantage of all of the mitzvot rabbanan, the decrees which Chazal laid down. What's the and the fact that we learn Gemara and are preoccupied with so many nitpicking details on the laws of Shabbat and the laws of Kashrut and so he explains that life is made up of small actions, and the best way to change your small actions is through learning Torah. And then he goes into detail. Kiyumam, the observance of the mitzvot. 2, talmudam, the learning. 3, hergelam, to make them your hergel. That's what preoccupies you. 4, chibatam, your motivation, your desire. And if you think about it, when Chazal say that if a person who wants to become a better person, Yasok b'mili de'avot, he should learn Pirkei Avot. The second opinion there is Yasok b'seder nizikin. He should learn Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Batra. Why is Choshen Mishpat, where are the laws of damages? Why is that going to make us better people?
Justice.
That's exactly what Rav Kook is talking about. If what you talk about, if you spend 5 hours in Seder Boker arguing with your chevruta over how much damages a person has to pay in this situation, how in what and what situation is something considered lashon hara, talking bad about a person, or avak lashon hara, or is there such a thing as avak de avak de lashon hara? Is it a deoraita, or is it a derabanan, or is it a midat chasidut? And then you ask the question, well, but what about this story in the Gemara which says something bad about somebody, and then you look in the Chafetz Chaim, and he turns you to the Shari Tshuva, and he turns you to the Rambam, and to spend 5 hours talking about how to say a sentence and how not to say a sentence, halavai that the greatest humanists in the world should do that even once in their entire life. And in the Beit Midrash, we do it all the time. And so again, let's review the 4 points. Observing the mitzvot, right? When we talk, part of the beauty of halacha is that it's not theoretical. Anybody who knows anything about Judaism knows that we don't leave anything to theory. The Shulchan Aruch tells you A, B, C, D, and then A1, A2, A3, B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, C, and everything is so difficult, and sometimes you have difference of opinion, sometimes Ashkenazim and Sephardim, but it's not just theoretical. You have to observe it. It preoccupies you. Right? And this idea of learning, by the way, is something that, what is the pshat of b'shivtecha b'veitecha v'lechtecha v'aderecha b'shochbecha v'kumecha? We say it twice a day, but a lot of people don't realize. The pshat of the pasuk is that wherever you go, you should be in a sugya. That's the chiddush, by the way, of Gemara B'iyun. You can't get that through b'kiyut. Right? A lot of people, you know, when they're learning, when they're working full time, you know, halavai, they should have a chevruta, you know, an hour a day. So what do they learn? You learn b'kiyut. You can't really get into a tosfot and a stira and a machloket rambam and a diuk and rashi. You can't really get into that learning an hour a day. But when you have a chevruta, even once a week, twice, the more the better, 3 hours at least, where you can really get into a sugya, and sugya continues with you. All of us remember when we learned in yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, now that I learn three days a week in yeshiva, you know the problem, a halachic problem that you're not allowed to learn in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
But when that's what's preoccupying, you're breaking your head, what does the Rambam mean here? Is the Magid Mishnah correct in his understanding of the Rambam, or is the Kesem Mishnah? And you're discussing with, not just in your mind, with your chevruta and with the Rav and with the guy sitting next to you, and you're talking about it for hours and hours and days. That continues with you in the shower, in the bathroom, ad kedei kach that you have to make a concerted effort not to think of Torah in the places where, or not to mention Shmon Esrei, right?
The new iPhone is distracting. The new iPhone is distracting.
And that's the beauty of turning off the iPhone in the Beit Midrash and really getting into it. So this idea of preoccupation in the intellectual isuk brings us also to chiba. Okay? Again, what are the 4 things? Kiyum, observance, study, preoccupation, and chiba. Chiba is...
Affection.
Affection. Right? Where you get into it with, you're fond of these sugyot, right? And it really becomes part of you. So this is what Rav Kook says, this is how the Torah does affect one. And even though, as we learned in Ma'amar Hador, Rav Kook does say that it's wrong that the yeshivot spend all of their time on Gemara, he still was in favor of spending most of the time on Gemara B'Yom, because for the reasons that we just said now. Alken, kesheyimtza ish ponet l'rikshei lev halalu, l'romem erech ha'tikunim ha'nechutzim be'emet, gam ken l'chol amlei Torah, shelo yimtza b'ma'aseihem dlam. Dlam is in the footnote at the bottom. For all those, this is one of those psychometric words that almost nobody knows in Hebrew. Rav Kook's level of Hebrew is unbelievable. It's a word which is found not in Tanakh, it's found in Masechet Psachim, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, and Rav Kook uses it in his common day Hebrew. His level of Hebrew is unbelievable. I think we once spoke about how Eliezer ben Yehuda used to mityaitz. He would ask Rav Kook words, ask him for his advice in reviving the modern language. So, aval. But if a person overdoes it, Va'al ma'ane de tzvi, and on colored clothing, klomar chezeron, and that's really what this launderer wanted to do. He wanted to ask for the same price for colored clothing that he asked for the white laundry.
Hmm.
And so what is Rav Kook saying? What's the symbolism here? Somebody who's overdoing it is saying, don't spend the same as much time and effort with somebody who just has a superficial problem in midot or in actions as you would somebody who's not in the Beit Midrash and he needs a overhaul.
And the launderer, by the way, has a problem in midot because he's charging too much money.
Right. Klomar, chesronot mikriim, shem efshariim lavo b'chug tamid chacham, yamer shehem kol kach tzvichim amel v'dichut nefesh. And somebody, a musarmacher, a magid, who wants to tell people who learn Torah to stop learning Torah and just to spend their time on learning, working on their midot, to treat them as if they were balabatim, as if they need an overhaul, like white clothing, that's wrong. Now, Rav Kook goes into depth in this issue in a famous Igeret. It's really the first, letter, that he writes to Rav Charlap. Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap.
Which number?
It's Igeret Ayin Gimel, 73. There's a very good, highly recommended book that just came out about Rav Charlap. It's written by his grandson, who lives here in Beit El, Yair Charlap. And Rav Charlap was a Yerushalmi. He grew up in the Haredi communities of Yerushalayim, the old Yishuv, it was called. He was very close to Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who in the end was the most bitter opponent of Rav Kook.
Not bitter. He respected him very much.
But in terms of Zionism and nationalism and how to relate to non-religious Jews, they had a bit of strong opposition.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the leaders of the one of the great Prushim of Yerushalayim, his name was Rav Tzvi Michal Shapira, and he was the Rebbe of Rav Charlap. And there's a picture here on page 29. There's actually a story of a lot of stories about Rav Charlap. You could see the picture of the pajamas, they used to call them. There's actually a story here of Rav Soloveitchik. And no, it's not the stripes. It was a special white pajama-like dress that the students of Rav Tzvi Michal Shapira used to wear. And Rav Soloveitchik, there's a story told that he met somebody once in Tafresh Tzadihei in 1935 from Yerushalayim. And they were talking about Yerushalayim. And Rav Soloveitchik had visited Eretz Yisrael not too long before. And he asked him if he knew Rav Charlap. So he said, of course, Rav Charlap. Everybody knew Rav Charlap was one of the Gedolim. Was accepted on all the chugim, Charedim, Zionists, non-Zionists. Everybody knew the Rav Charlap was unbelievable in righteousness, in learning, etc. So Rav Soloveitchik asked this person if he's still Rav Charlap still walks around with the gatkas, with the white gatkas that that he used to. It was known that this group, they were Prushim, they used to fast a lot. They were very, very much separated from the physical world. They would do a lot of taniyot dibur, not speaking to people. And actually, how did Rav Charlap meet Rav Kook? He was very sick. He was very sickly. And the doctor told him that he should... Sorry?
Rav Kook or Rav Charlap?
Rav Charlap. Because of all these fasts, and he wouldn't eat, and he was very poor. There's a story here of how he once made a siyum on choshen mishpat with his chevruta on a hard-boiled egg. They both were so poor that each one took a half of the hard-boiled egg, and that was their seuda. And so the doctor sent him to Yafo, it was called Tel Aviv at the time, to spend some time on the beach to get some sun. Doctors who used to be really into that. And that's where he met Rav Kook. And Rav Kook tried to... Rav Kook tried to convince him that this idea of fasting and not speaking and removing yourself from the physical world is not the way of Torah Eretz Yisrael. It's not the way of that is fitting for the Torah of the door of the generation of Geulah. And he gives a very interesting differentiation here. Ikar Derech, he talks about, he respects Rav Michal Tzvi Shapira very, very much, and his Derech HaPrishut. Ikar Derech HaPrishut, the main way of this self-inflicting pain, Vasiguf HaNilveim HaKafim Midata, he Meshubachat, when is it positive? As we find in many of the Sifrei Musar, like Sefer Hasidim, they say there's something very positive. Rak kefi ota mida shel ha'ora ha'elyona shel oneg Hashem shel ziva chokhma elyona v'shefa ava betanugim hanimshechet uvayim yirat Hashem amitit, the more, if it really gives you happiness, ora, light, oz, koach, ziv chayim, chedvat emet, if it gives you the happiness of truth and the shining of life and inner strength and outer strength, then if it really does, and Rav Kook says, I believe that in your Rebbe, in Rav Tzvi Michal Shapira, it does bring him to that high level of happiness. He says, that's for Yechidei Skula, for individuals, and then that's something which is very good. But, he says, for the vast majority of us, Rav Kook says, including himself, says that is not the way of Torah. And that's what he's saying here. It's boomerangs. It's counterproductive. If you overdo, if you, in the mashal here, charge too much, or you relate to colored clothing like white clothing.
Bleach it.
Right? You bleach it, it's counterproductive. Right? Because if you scrub a clothing which doesn't need to be scrubbed, you're just weakening it.
Lavan is also, Lavan can also be, hypocritical, to make oneself white on the outside when not being tochokiboro, not having your inside like your outside.
Okay.
And then Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, why did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter start the Musar movement? Because he saw that there were people who were connected to learning whose midot did not reflect, were not on the same level as their level of...
Right, so knowledge. Here Rav Kook is showing the other side of the coin. Because today I think it's unanimous that the Musar movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, not only is it necessary, but it's something very, very positive. And that's why, like I said before, we have difficult understanding the other side of the coin. How is there such opposition? Rav Kook is saying, because it does come at the expense of Torah regarding certain people. So he answers him, you want to ask for the same price for white and colored clothing. The rabbis already preceded you and told you, no, you cannot relate to the two as the same. You can't relate to somebody who learns Torah in the same way, ethically, as and his ethical needs, as somebody who doesn't. Okay.
What if you charge the other way around? What if you
charge the other way around? Be'emet ha'midah ha'nechona nikach et ha'avodah hazot shel ha'tipul al tikunei ha'ma'asim v'amidot aval kefi ha'shiur ha'ra'ui. Besimenu le'einenu tamid ki kocha shel Torah v'ashlamat ha'da'at b'yirat Hashem. Notice the term here. Da'at b'yirat Hashem. The learning, the intellectual isuk with Torah, that's what brings to you to yirat Hashem. And without a doubt, Rav Kook here is alluding to the famous sentence in the Hakdama, in the introduction of Mesilat Yesharim. Az tavin yirat Hashem. What does the pasuk say? It doesn't say then you will feel yirat Hashem. It says then you will understand yirat Hashem. Yirat Hashem isn't something that you need to repeat to yourself. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. Right? Like they would in the Navratak Yeshiva. The Mesilat Yesharim says it's something that you have to intellectually get to. That is the best way of intellectually understanding what you need to change. And the way to do it is through Torah. That's the best way. He me'ateretet ba'aleha b'tchunot tiviyot agunot. When a person's connection to Yirat Hashem and ethics is through the intellect, which is called the atara, Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, these are the higher parts in the Kabbalistic way of looking at the world. These are the crown of people, right? The Kuzari also uses the term that the brain, the intellect, has to be the king, the one who gives the orders in a person's life. Ad shanatiya pnimit ponahi letov ve'amigraot ha'masiyot yavo al pi mikre shebesimat lev v'chefetz tahor b'nekel yitukenu. When a person is like Teflon, then even if a little grease sticks to you, it can be wiped away very easily. And that's the picture of a scholar. Al ken ein ra'ui l'rapot yadayim. We shouldn't weaken people. Mishkidal dalte Torah. When a person is learning Torah in shkida, hatmada,
constant diligence,
don't take him out of the Beit Midrash, or don't take him away from the Gemara to overdo his time on learning Musar, because the real tipul shoresh, fixing the root of the problem, is davka through the Torah that he's learning. That is the straight way of fixing our ethics. So learning Musar, definitely, but learn all of Torah, and that really will also change your eating and your dress habits and your speech habits and really everything.
Yeah. Okay. What